If you are someone who is struggling with eating while at home during this pandemic, in the sense that you're bored eating, mindless eating, snacking, all those kind of things, I want you to feel empowered in your body and your relationship with food. So I have five tips, five tools for you today.
Welcome to Weighing In on Happy, the only podcast that dives deep into discussions around weight, eating disorders, mental health, body image, intuitive eating, wellness, confidence, and so much more. Each week, you'll be coached through different stories and strategies on how to start living your best life today. So, if you're ready, here's your host, Victoria Evans.
This episode of Weighing In on Happy has been brought to you by my one-on-one coaching program, 90 Days to Food Freedom. If you're ready to go from defeated to empowered, learn how to listen to your body, feel confident in your skin, and stop all your food fear and guilt so that you can eat effortlessly and intuitively, then definitely check out my website at www.victoriaevansofficial.com/programs, where you can find out how to work with me. Now, one last thing before we hop into this amazing episode. If you could please take just 2 seconds on Apple to leave me a 5-star review, it would mean the absolute world to me. So please do that now. Again, it just takes 2 seconds, and I would thank you so, so much. Hey, you guys, and welcome back to Weighing In on Happy. My name is Victoria Evans. I'm a science-based intuitive eating and body image coach, and I am so excited to have you here today for this solo episode of Weighing In on Happy. Well, I've been back in Canada for just under a month now, and it's been a huge transition from being in Bali for 2 years, where there really wasn't too many restrictions, and I kind of had a lot of freedom there, to now coming back to Canada, spending my first 2 weeks in quarantine, and now still really not being able to do much outside of the home. And so when I had clients and even just people online talking to me about how difficult it is to be at home and working from home and being surrounded by food all the time and all of that, I thought I understood it, but I didn't really understand it until I was living it firsthand. And so now I really sympathize, I really empathize, I understand what you're going through, what it's like. And so I wanted to dedicate a podcast specifically to you if you are someone who is struggling with eating while at home during this pandemic, in the sense that you're bored eating, mindless eating, snacking, all those kind of things. I want you to feel empowered in your body and your relationship with food. So I have 5 tips, 5 tools for you today. And if you have the opportunity to go get a pen and piece of paper, hit pause, definitely go do that, because as you know, the way I coach is very actionable. Meaning I want you to be able to integrate these tools into your life so that we're creating new neural pathways and continuing to fire on them so that we can create new habits and a new way of being. So we don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk, which is all about what I love to coach in order to make sure that we really have that kind of transformation when it comes to food and body freedom. All right, so my first tool when it comes to overcoming mindless snacking, bored eating, all of that, is to sit with your emotions. Now, this might kind of surprise you because you're like, what does that have anything to do with emotions when I'm bored eating and mindless snacking? The truth is, it has everything to do with it. Now, I really cover this in depth in my one-on-one coaching program, but essentially, bored, mindless eating, anything kind of like that, our brain really associates bored, for example, with a neutral or a negative state. Now, our brain has been biologically designed to avoid pain as a survival technique. It associates pain with essentially death. And so, if any time that we're feeling bored, we haven't really worked to sit with our emotions to understand that they can't hurt us. You know, negative emotions, whether it be boredom or frustration or stress, aren't actually going to mean that we're going to be killed by the lion, essentially, how our brain is thinking, until we really work to have that emotional intelligence, the emotional capability to work through how we're feeling and sit with our emotions. We're always going to want to default to the numbing, the avoiding, right? The distraction through food. So our brain goes, hey, I'm noticing that you're feeling kind of neutral, maybe a little bit negative. Remember that time that we ate something and we felt really good? Why don't you go do that again? So we stand up from our desk or we roll off the couch or whatever, and we go get some food. Then we start eating that food and we're feeling good. You know, we're getting dopamine, anticipation of reward, serotonin. We're feeling great. Then the food stops, the dopamine stops, dopamine's the anticipation of reward. And so we want to go and get more of it so we can continue that feeling. And so we end up finding ourselves, you know, consistently bored, snacking, mindless eating, all those things in an attempt to change our state. So, you know, I always talk about with my clients, oftentimes a craving is meaning that you're craving a change of state, a change of mental state. You want to go from a neutral or negative feeling into a more positive one. And food is a way that often we are able to do that because we have such availability to food. So if that sounds kind of like you in terms of inability to sit with your emotions, that's maybe something to consider, something to work on, because until you're able to really process and sit with emotions, whether it be stress or boredom or whatever, you're never going to be able to fully handle your relationship with food because you're always going to default to this kind of numbing agent, food as it were. Analogy I use with clients is when they're, you know, people are trying to, for example, go on a diet and they're trying to do so without doing the deeper work. The analogy I use, it's like going through emotional surgery without having food as your anesthetic. I'll say that again. It's like trying to go through emotional surgery without having food as your anesthetic. So if that resonates, if that hits home for you, then the good news is you're not alone there. And I specifically work with clients on really how to hone in on how they're feeling, connect their emotions, connect their bodies, that they feel fully empowered. They can handle anything that's coming their way because they're no longer feeling like they're a slave to their emotions. They're understanding them, they're working with them and not against them, because emotions are simply data points. They're little messages. If you almost think about like on the dashboard of your car, if there's a flashing light, you know, ignoring it and hoping it goes away, like an emotion, for example, isn't going to fix the problem. But if it's something like, you know, check windshield wiper fluid, that's something we can easily fix. Same thing with emotions. Once you understand what those messages are telling us, we can easily work through them and actually use them to our advantage, right? So it's kind of like, don't shoot the messenger. And emotions are just little messengers in our body. So that's my first tip for you, is learning how to sit with your emotions. And again, I really cover this in depth in one-on-one coaching. So if you're curious to learn more, send me a message or book in your call, www.victoriaevansofficial.com/coaching, because I'd love to chat with you a little bit more about that. All right, my second tip for you is to add in more pleasure. Girl, this pandemic fucking sucks. And I know myself, like I've been walking around in like sweatpants, my hair in a messy bun, wearing fuzzy socks, and I'm comfy, that's for fucking sure. But I'm not necessarily leaning into any kind of pleasure in my life, right? And so often I see so many women deprive themselves of pleasure. And so it'll be, you know, I just have to, for example, lose weight and then I'll feel worthy and then I'll do this. Or I have to hit this goal or this milestone and then I've earned it. You never have to earn pleasure. You always have permission to. And so what I find often happens is they'll default to a false pleasure. So because they've kind of restricted pleasure in other parts of their life, what happens is they'll use food as an outlet for pleasure. And so when it comes to all areas of our life, we tend to restrict fun, restrict pleasure. Oh, we're grownups now. Oh, we have to do the work all day long and all that. That's fucking bullshit. I don't know about you, but I think all adults can more or less agree we're just pretending to be adults and we're really just kids who are following different rules. And that's fucking boring. So no, stop forcing your brain to outlet to pleasure with food and to consciously add pleasure into your life in other ways. What is fun? Fun doesn't, like in terms of pleasure, it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual either, right? I mean, it can be, have a time, but it can also be, you know, jumping rope outside. I have no idea. Playing hopscotch. Doing a coloring book, watching a show that you really fucking love, buying yourself flowers, baking yourself cookies for the heck of it, or taking yourself out on a picnic, having a date night with yourself. Something I love to do with clients is having them schedule in date nights, because a lot of the time you don't necessarily feel worthy of that pleasure. And telling ourselves we're worthy doesn't always hit home. So sometimes if we make ourselves feel worthy through taking actions, it can almost create that evidence for ourselves that we are worthy, right? And so what could a date night look like for you? When I was in Bali, you know, even be going out for dinner by myself, or maybe even if I had the opportunity, booking myself in at a spa or going for a hotel for the night. I have no idea what it looks like for you. Maybe that's even like a bath with a bath bomb, listening to a podcast, maybe even this one, or reading a book and having like chocolate dipped strawberries, whatever. But create pleasure in your life so you don't have to outlet using food to do so. Not that we can't do that, you know, not that we can't use food as pleasure, but if we're using that as a substitution because we're basically being, you know, like the Scrooge in every other area of our life, is not always a very empowering way to use food. All right, so that was my second tip, which is adding in pleasure. The third one I have is that we really, really, really need to strengthen our prefrontal cortex. The world is fucking bananas, whether it be the pandemic or just watching the news. And it, regardless, we live in a really stressful world. What happens when we're stressed? Well, we're mostly being run by our amygdala, which is our limbic system, basically decides whether or not things are, you know, we're going to kill us or not, if it's something we should be fearing. Now, if we're constantly stressed, constantly being run by our amygdala, we're likely going to be unable to access our prefrontal cortex. Now, our prefrontal cortex is the most future rational, you know, thinking part of our brain that's impulse control, all those things. We really want to be operating out of our prefrontal cortex. It's like the best version of you. However, when we're constantly stressed and overwhelmed and fearful, we're not able to actually access that part of our brain. I always kind of think about this almost like if you've ever seen a movie or even someone, you know, drowning and the person that comes to save them, they usually drown them with them because they're not thinking logically. They're thinking out of fear, right? They're acting fairly irrationally, which is a lot of the time when we're living out of that fear state, what is happening. You can also think about this like being in your sympathetic versus your parasympathetic nervous system. So your sympathetic is that fight or flight. So I'm fighting, you know, fighting the lion or I'm running away from the lion. And then you have your parasympathetic, which is that rest, digest, and heal. Now we're in that rest, digest, and heal state, that's really when we're able to access that frontal cortex. When we are in the running away or fighting the lion state, that's when we're in the sympathetic. Now, when it comes to things like bored eating, emotional eating, mindless eating, we're not really being present, right? We're not feeling super rational. We're not feeling like we have a ton of impulse control. And that's because those are things all being run by our prefrontal cortex. So we're a lot of the time being run out of our amygdala, that emotional state. We're feeling bored. We're feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, whatever. And then what's happening is we're using food as a way to distract ourselves, numb, cope, whatever. And so one of the things that we can do is we can actually strengthen our prefrontal cortex so that we're more likely to be operating out of there instead of out of that kind of fearful amygdala, limbic system, sympathetic state. It's a mouthful. So lots of ways to do this. And again, I go deep with this on my clients, but just a simple tool that you can really implement today since I'm all about taking action is by doing something like box breathing. You might have heard of this, I've talked about this before, but basically it's a technique developed by Navy SEALs, also known as tactical breathing, as a way to get you out of your sympathetic and into your parasympathetic nervous system. So something called our vagus nerve basically decides whether or not we're in our parasympathetic or sympathetic. And now doing simple breathing techniques like this, which is actually an active form of meditation, especially if you're someone who struggles with meditation, breath work can be amazing. So this is simply inhale for four through your nose, hold for four, exhale for four through your mouth, and hold for four. Doing that four times is going to trigger your vagus nerve and get you into a parasympathetic state. And now because your brain is like a muscle and it actually will strengthen the more you do certain things, the more you do the meditation or the breath work, like for example, doing the box breathing, the more you're actually strengthening this part of your brain. You can kind of think about it almost like a teeter-totter. So you might be sympathetic dominant right now, meaning that your sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight, fearful, everything is kind of really, really heavy. It's really intense. We want to strengthen our parasympathetic so that we can kind of tilt the teeter-totter so that we feel a bit more balanced and we're only in that kind of fearful state when it's something that's truly life-threatening and not just the email from the boss or the board at home or whatever. So that is my third tip for you, is to strengthen your prefrontal cortex through doing things like box breathing. And again, if you want to go deeper on that and really leverage your nervous system, because it's a huge component of understanding your relationship with food and your body. Again, I do this in one-on-one coaching, and I would love to help support you on that journey. All right, number four. It is so important for you to create a little bit of structure to your day. Our brain likes structure. It likes knowing what is happening. It actually does not like a lot of uncertainty, the unsureness, I don't know if that's a word. It doesn't like it. And so the more that we can add a little bit of structure to our day, especially when our days are all kind of blending in very fluid because we're all at home, the better that it will be. And so one of the things that I love to do, for example, is even just having a morning routine just to create a little bit of structure. Now, the important thing here is that you're not making this an all or nothing. It has to be perfect. So many people get into trouble when they have that all or nothing approach. I'm sure you can relate to this idea that, you know, oh, I ate 3 cookies, my day is ruined, fuck it, I'll just finish the whole box and then tomorrow I won't buy anymore, right? Same thing that we don't want to be doing with our structure and routine. We don't want to take an all or nothing approach because we're human. We can't be perfect all the time. So we can't have those expectations like that, because it's basically just setting ourselves up for failure. So even when it comes to the Intuitive Eater's morning routine, this is a morning routine that I sell to people to really help them create some routine, create some structure in their life. And I love to do it using a buffet style, meaning that it shouldn't be this rigid, perfect, you have to do exactly this or exactly that, because that's not the point here. We want to be able to make sure that's intuitive to you. So I like when people can pick and choose different parts of their morning routine, like a buffet, depending on their day, without it feeling rigid and super structured, like it, you know, it has to be this all or nothing approach. So if you're curious to learn more about what that kind of feels like, what that kind of sounds like, you're welcome to pick up a copy of the Intuitive Eater's Morning Routine. So I'll put the link in the comments below. But as well, if you use the code at checkout, podcast5, so PODCAST and the number 5, you'll actually get $5 off the morning routine as well. So if you're looking for a little bit of structure to your day, that could be a really great little addition for you there. And so when it comes to routine, having that kind of flexibility and buffet style can be really, really helpful for your brain, just to give it a sense of knowing and understanding, and just awareness of kind of what is going on. Our brain fears the unknown. And so when you can add in as much structure and kind of known in a gentle and constructive way that we can, it can be really helpful for us. The second thing when it comes to routine that I think is really, really important is basically making sure you're taking enough breaks. So I used to be the worst at this, where I would just work for super long periods of time, not checking in at all with how I was feeling. And then I was essentially, you know, by the time I looked up from my computer, go and eat a whole bunch of food, or just kind of like fall down this rabbit hole of like mindless snacking or whatever, because I'd never really checked in with myself. And so something that I still do to this day is the Pomodoro technique. So you might have heard of it, but basically it's a style of working and you can section it up in different ways. But my favorite way to do it is I work for 25 minutes and then I take a 5-minute break. And I do this every single 25 minutes, except for I'm taking a lunch break or a longer break, but I never force my brain to work longer than 25 minutes without a break. And again, a lot of the time we start mindless snacking and bored eating because we'll feel overwhelmed and like it's too much when we're doing a task or I have a huge project to do. And then what we do is we start to snack to try to procrastinate, feel better about it, versus going to kind of the source of the issue, which is maybe we feel overwhelmed by doing this task or doing this thing. And so instead of, for example, finish the report, it should be spend 25 minutes on the report, take a 5-minute break. As well as if you've ever heard of Parkinson's Law, it's basically this idea that work expands to fill the time available for its completion, right? So if you give yourself a whole day to finish a project, it's likely going to take you the whole day because that's the time you've allotted to yourself. Versus what I love about doing Pomodoro technique is that I'll give myself 25 minutes to work on something and then something else. And I usually finish it within that time because that's what I've allotted to it. So something interesting that you can try in terms of even productivity, but the key point there as well is that you're giving yourself breaks, right? And so it's not going to be that I worked for 5 hours and then my brain was desperate for some kind of numbing and distracting because you worked it so hard, and then we start turning to food. So those 5 minute breaks, I'm literally up and dancing and petting my dog. Maybe I even take him for a short walk. Maybe it turns into a 20 minute break, whatever. But it's so important to give your brain breaks because you are a human, not a computer. And so you can't expect yourself to be operating at 100 all the time without giving yourself some rest and recovery there. So that would be a little bit of my fourth tip for you around creating structure and routine, as well as creating rest and space throughout the day to check in with yourself and really help you as well with your productivity. So that's number four. Number five is the importance of connection. So you're like, Victoria, it's a fucking pandemic. It's really difficult to connect with people. And I know, I get it. I am in the middle of nowhere in Canada. It is like -5 out. My dog's cute, but the conversation just doesn't flow well because he can't respond to me. So I hear you when you're telling me that it's difficult to connect right now. But here's the thing. Humans are a social species and we require co-regulation in order for us to process and really just live our life. So co-regulation is a term pulled from polyvagal theory that I talk about as well in coaching when it relates to our central nervous system and relationship with food and body. But basically this idea that humans have this social engagement system, and in order for us to fully and properly function, we need to be socially engaged with other humans. So whether this be, you know, the Zoom calls with friends and family, or going on socially distanced walks, or really any way you can get some kind of connection in, honestly, it's going to be really, really important, because a lot of the time we're substituting loneliness and just feeling really isolated with food. And again, I'm never trying to demonize food and say that, you know, food can be a great coping mechanism, but if it's our only coping mechanism, we can start to get into some issues because we default to that instead of working through some things. So when it comes to connection, where are different ways you can get connection in your life? What are some other options instead of, you know, just through your work? And so I'm going to totally just use this as a plug here because I feel so strongly about the work I do. But if you're looking for a really genuine connection, then I'd love to invite you to hop on a call with me for coaching, right? So I have my 90 Days to Food Freedom one-on-one coaching program, and I'm nearly booked out for the next few months, but I do have a couple spots that are currently available by the time this releases. So if you've been thinking about taking the leap and doing coaching, I cannot urge you more strongly. I believe this is the secret to life. I think, honestly, once you do this work and once you heal your relationship with food in your body, nothing can fucking stop you, right? Like, it blows my fucking mind, the transformation that women have, which you are so fucking worthy of. And another cool thing when it comes to connection is that when women are done working with me, I have another option that they can go into this program called my Inner Circle program. Now, basically, this is only for past clients, so it's really exclusive. All women who've had this amazing transformation. And basically, each month we have two calls. The first call is a woman's circle call. So basically, I start with like a meditation, I give a journal prompt, we share, we talk about our goals, how we're feeling, everything. And then the second call, which is 2 weeks later, so we have two calls a month, the first week and the third week of the month, that is a training. So this past month, we did it on understanding our cycles, so like our periods, as it relates to our eating, our productivity, how we exercise. So if you think that I talk a lot about stuff that are kind of interesting on my stories, then I really go deep in these trainings and give a lot, again, actionable tools. So that's the start of that call. And then we move into a group coaching call. So just continued support and accountability so that you always have a community of women who really understand you and support you, and you just don't feel alone anymore, which I truly believe that connection heals, and the more that we can get it, and especially from a group of people who are on the same page as us, because doing this kind of work and going on this journey is difficult at the best of times, but if you're doing it in an environment where other people are not on the same journey, it can feel extra, extra hard. So having support of a coach and then having a support of a community who understands who you are, where you're at, what you've learned, what you've been through, it's fucking life-changing. All right, that was my rant for you today. So to summarize, the first tip I had was sitting with emotions. The second one was adding in some fucking pleasure. The third one was strengthening your prefrontal cortex. The fourth one was creating some structure to your life. And the fifth one was getting some connection. And if you're listening to this, I want to know, what is your biggest takeaway? What tool are you going to implement? Shoot me a message over on Instagram at Victoria Evans Official. I would love, love, love to hear with you. And again, if you're thinking to yourself, you know what, maybe coaching could be a really great option for me, I would love to speak with you, right? So head on over to my website, www.victoriaevansofficial.com/coaching, or you're welcome to shoot me a message on DM and just say that you'd like some more information on coaching and we can have a conversation there, because I would love to support you. All right, my friend, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next week, I hope you have a fabulous day. Bye-bye. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Now, if you're interested to learn more about my one-on-one coaching program, 90 Days to Food Freedom, then please check out my website at www.victoriaevansofficial.com/programs, where you can learn more about how to work with me. And if you're not already following me on Instagram, please do. It's at Victoria Evans Official. Definitely shoot me a DM. I'm always doing little trainings, giving little tips, as well as sharing my stories. So I'd love to have you there. Oh, and I'm always dancing. And if you're looking for even more support, coaching, community, trainings, all of that, then definitely join my Facebook group, Intuitive Eating Support Group for Badass Women. And of course, all this will be below for you in the show notes. All right, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a fabulous day. Bye-bye.